Hey, welcome to another episode of the Journey Online podcast. I'm your host, Zach DeBerry. We're going to have a great time today. Sitting in with us, we've got El Cuatro, not the trio. You know, we were making fun of Daniel last week for not knowing anything about 80s films.
Can you get in?
Hey, taking a quick selfie here. Yep. We'll post that sometime. That'd be awesome. But yeah, so sitting in with us again is Daniel Schaefer. Makes us sound good. He actually makes us look good too.
Yeah, even look good as well.
He brings us up a notch. That puts us at notch one.
He really does.
He's saying I'm ugly.
Notch one. That's like the notch one.
It's good to have you, Daniel. How you doing today?
Doing good.
Good, man.
Yeah.
Good. He keeps us set up and tries to keep us on schedule, which is
that's hard. It's like wrangling cats.
Yeah, that's unending really job. Is. An unending job for sure. And then also we've got a guest voice today with his smooth pipes, the smooth operator that he is, our director of Kid Street and just all around cool guy, Josh Kaiser. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm a little confused though. I thought this podcast was about underpaid church staff.
Yeah.
I mean, you can just eliminate the adjective underpaid and just say it was about church
right.
staff.
Well,
there's an assumed aspect of that.
I think I know I'm here now because I'm in a Cavs sweatshirt and a Cavs hat. So yes, I think you guys are ready to beat up on me or something.
Yeah. So good to have you with us today, man. And then with us today also is our resident Canadian man
yes,
of
sir.
The hour.
Yes,
Matt,
sir.
The Matt Dawson.
The.
How you doing, man?
Good, man.
Good, good.
I'm excited about today.
Yeah, today's going to be, it's a little unstructured today, mostly because I'm a slacker sometimes.
Sometimes.
Probably 90% of the time.
But this is more of a conversation anyway.
This is definitely more of a conversation. Well, these all kind of stray from whatever outline we have anyway, so I was just like, whatever, we'll just wing it today.
So you're saying you dropped the ball?
Oh, yeah.
No pun intended.
He totally.
There was a fumble. Speaking of fumbles,
yes.
Today we wanted to have just a conversation or kind of a roundtable, a frank discussion about what I just called America's new religion. That's probably a terrible thing to think about or a way to put it, but that's just how I'm going with it. So we're going to go with it from that. And we're talking about dun dun dun.
The Kardashians?
No.
Oh gosh.
No.
Dear Lord, help them.
That's right.
We're talking about sports. My brain just went to somewhere totally crazy because I've been watching the O.J. Simpson thing on FX,
the show, and the
Kardashians. You know, they're in there.
That's crazy.
Sorry, my mind just went somewhere crazy.
Gosh,
because I remember living through all that. But never mind.
Yep.
Well, it kind of ties
into
sports. O.J. Simpson, a great
Simpson,
running back.
That's true.
You know, he was a great running back. Yeah. So that kind of works. But so we're going to talk about America's new religion, which is. Well, we're just going to talk about sports today, you know, and kind of the role that it has taken in our society and even in our church cultures. I mean, especially here at Journey, I mean, we just like it got progressively like bigger each week during the NFL season, like the black and whatever color blue
out.
That is.
Carolina blue.
Panther
blue.
The Panther blue.
Hope Fit blue. It's actually Hope Fit blue.
It is Hope Fit blue, yeah.
but it was cool on Sunday. It was actually kind of cool on Sundays to see that grow,
yeah.
Each week of
the random,
all the way
the
up
random
to that Super
Steelers
Bowl.
Fan and then the random, college jersey.
But that's always been a thing here at Journey. So sports is big here, in the fabric of even just our church.
Tends to be primarily football.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah. I don't see any baseball stuff out.
I love baseball. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Pitchers and catchers just reported last week. Hello. Yes.
I know. I'm late. I'm late. Can we hurry up and go?
That's so awesome.
So, yes. So it's a real cool thing just to see how sports has weaved itself into the fabric of our society, the fabric of our personal lives, our churches, everything from like fanhood, college alliance, pro football, pro sports teams that we root for and have a vested interest in, to all the way down to like our little leagues. We even have a league here called Stewards of the Game that we kind of push, and it just keeps us busy and that kind of thing. So we're going to try to just talk about that. How all those things kind of weave into our culture, our lives, and the effect that it has on us and even maybe our churches sometimes and that kind of thing. So I have one question just to kind of get the ball rolling, and we'll see where it takes us. We'll go around each of you and just tell us, where do you stand on the whole sports thing? Like would you call yourself like a fan, a fanatic, just a casual observer of sports in general, or you just really don't care, about it all? I mean, You kind of pay attention to it just so when somebody's talking about it, you're not lost, but you really don't care. So let's start. Josh, where are you at, man, as you sit here in your Cleveland Cavaliers
hat
and sweatshirt?
That's right. I am pretty high on the scale, I'd say.
Yeah.
I'm actually a little bit better than I was a few years back. And honestly,
you make it sound like it's a problem.
I know.
Well, maybe we'll get to that.
Overly
in this
obsessed,
podcast.
Or yeah,
I'm on,
yeah,
I'm on
yeah.
step five.
I'll be step 5 of 12.
That's right.
No, honestly, there was a time when I really felt like God was dealing with me, and in my fanaticism, is that even a word?
Oh, it but, is now.
Yeah, yep. There it is. I just threw that out there. So, yeah. So that's I'm still high on the scale though. I definitely pay attention to most sports. I, you know, keep up on a lot of things, particularly football, college and pro.
Yeah.
Basketball, big Cavs fan, obviously, yeah, with my stuff on. Baseball, pay attention.
Yep.
Now, part of that was because you played sports.
I did. I grew up an athlete, played, you know.
Well, that was going to be my next question is part of that, you know.
I think you had to be somewhat obsessive with to play sports, the level you tried to play.
Yes.
You know, that you were involved in. So it's as a fan, you're probably.
Yeah. Because you were a baseball guy, right?
Like, baseball guy. Yep. played organized baseball till I was 29. But yeah, I'll be honest with you, my whole life even, I watched and was obsessed with other sports than baseball. Like, I liked playing baseball, but unless I was going physically to the baseball game, I didn't like watching baseball a whole lot. I would rather play it.
Right.
You know, so, but definitely high on the scale.
For interesting. Yeah, I would say I'm on the fine line.
Well, you grew up, you're Canadian, so.
We have sports
curling.
There.
Curling.
You have hockey.
We have sports there.
Don't knock curling.
I'm not saying curling, man.
You have hockey in the Toronto Blue Jays.
Some skill, you know? Yeah, actually, you know, and Joe we watched Carter. A lot of, and we know we watched a lot of baseball because we were right there by Detroit,
right,
you know, mm-hmm, and so a lot of baseball, football. We tended to get all that in because of just, you know, the American television and everything like that. So it wasn't like we were so secluded and, you know, with, you know, in the Moose Cave or anything like that. And so I didn't play very much, right? But I always thought that was part of the reason that I was kind of borderline, not caring, but socially, you know, involved, you know, because I appreciate and love watching competition. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like I have to keep up with things. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I can watch a basketball game. I can play basketball. I can, you know, I can be involved in sports and enjoy the competition because I enjoy the people side of it. But I don't feel the need to. There is zero in my brain lodged away memory banks of stats, sports, who won which went thing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just nothing there. And you know, it was never a family value. I will say that it was never a family value. My dad didn't like, you know, stop Sunday and didn't move for 4 or 5 hours because it's football or whatever. So,
and that's huge. Yeah,
that's part of it. So huge. I would say that's kind of where
family dynamic
where I stand. How about you, Daniel?
I'm definitely on the higher end of the spectrum. huge Cowboys fan.
Uh-huh.
I mean, football is definitely the
bigger one
for me.
Yeah, okay.
But I mean, I don't know. I grew up playing basketball. I grew up playing baseball. I played football for 1 year, but there just wasn't a lot of opportunity to play it. But basketball was always the thing I loved playing the most.
Nice.
But then, you know, college and stuff, we would play tackle football every Friday just out on the lawn until someone got hurt.
Until someone got
hurt. And then it'd stop.
Yeah.
But, you know, family, it was big in our family. My dad loved watching football. Like, every Sunday afternoon was football time.
Right.
My mom tried to curb it some, said we could each pick two teams.
Ooh.
And
that you're only going to watch those teams?
Yeah, if those teams were on, we could watch it. But so I picked two. My brother picked
That's
two.
That's pretty cool.
My dad was like, well, I'm an adult, so I get to pick two states. So I pick Pennsylvania and
California.
Florida.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's like, and your mom's part of this family, so she gets New York and California.
Yeah.
And so we were able to watch whatever. Cause
whatever.
That's pretty much
they're everything,
at least half the teams. Yeah. So.
And you played, did you played sports kind of growing up?
Oh, yeah.
And
I played basketball all the time.
Basketball.
Yeah. Played that, you know, upwards basketball when I was younger and then a couple city leagues. And
right.
Then homeschooling, I didn't play it really past that because homeschool makes it hard.
Yeah.
But.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, me, I'm a very passionate college football fan.
Yes, you are.
That's probably my number one.
Yes, and it is.
Then the others are just like close seconds.
Go Tigers.
You know? Probably my least favorite's the NBA until playoffs, you know.
Yeah.
That's really the only time I really like pay attention to that. Mm-hmm. However, I will say I've paid a little more attention this year mainly because of Steph Curry. I just like watching.
Yeah, great,
you know,
story.
Just how that
plus
team,
a hometown
that team's
boy,
kinda,
yeah.
Local guy.
That team's kind of changing.
On that mouth guard.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, well, they're just changing how the NBA is like played. You know, it used to just all be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like that whole paradigm thing of when something comes in and changes something. But yeah, so I'm a big Clemson Tiger fan.
Nice. Yes, sir.
you know, all of those sports, you know.
And how does a guy, how exactly does that border on religion for you there?
What's that?
Zachary.
Well, you know what?
The Clemson.
it is. The good, thing about, listen, the good yeah. thing about college football,
yeah.
as opposed to the NFL, Saturday. Is it's on Saturdays
most
of the time.
Yeah.
Or Thursday, Wednesday or
well, Thursday, Friday,
or,
yeah, Saturday. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know,
just depends.
But not Sunday. Yeah. So, you know, yeah. we're like Chick-fil-A. We're off on Sundays. You know?
That's awesome. That's awesome.
We get busy the rest of the week.
That's, but, yeah, know, that's
Sunday,
right.
Sundays
sometimes
are
off
are
on
still,
whatever day you're playing.
Yeah.
That's true.
Not
there
the Tigers, go. Though. Not the Tigers.
Oh, gosh.
We even beat the Hound out of Alabama. Look at the stats. You know?
Look at the stats, baby.
Special teams. Special teams. We got work to do. But, you know, you out-tackle them. You out-rush
right.
them. You out-pass them.
Oh, gosh.
You know. Yeah, mm-hmm. you should win that game, you know, but we didn't.
Okay, but I'm saying from a religion standpoint, like you have
– Oh, it tests my religion a lot of times.
I'm about to say oh my gosh, you're devoted to going to games?
Oh yeah, yeah, we're season ticket
you
know, holders.
Yeah,
and,
there you go.
Down
see?
There pretty much every Saturday. And,
yeah.
But that's one thing that's cool about it is like when I look at it, I don't see it in it. Some people see sports in a negative light, and we'll talk
right.
a little bit about
okay.
that, but when I go down there, it's like I have this second family. You know, it's like those third and fourth cousins that you don't really associate with much through the year, but you have that random family reunion where you run into them. Well, that's what I experienced like on Saturdays because, you know, we have these season tickets that we've had for like 8 years, same seats, and we've got the same people around us. So every football season, it's like a family reunion almost. You know, we get to go down there, hang out, celebrate for 4 hours where, you know, we're hugging each other, high-fiving, we're all together. You know, our mantra down there is all in, you know, and all in and family. And so that's what we're all about down there on Saturdays. And it really feels like that, you know, from
yeah.
tailgating to game time to post game to, you know, looking forward to the next week when we get to kind of all hang out and celebrate again. So for me, that kind of models what church should be like on a weekly basis.
Right.
Like it should be something
right.
we look forward to and celebrate and, you know, those kind of things. So that's the way I view kind of sports. And,
I mean, you're
and
hitting all the highlights, man. Community.
Yeah.
Kind of the devotion to,
right.
to you know, and commitment to it. Mm-hmm. You're hitting the fact that you guys, you know, it's a close relationship you have with people. Like,
yeah.
you know, that's a big deal, man. That's,
yeah.
I mean, that's what people
well,
are trying to get
why there's
church
always
too,
been this,
you know?
This tie between, like, sports. And religion,
yeah.
So to speak, you know, and there's always been kind of this connection kind of thing that's just weird.
But you can either view it a tie or a rub, right? You can either view it as a tie or just
yeah.
something that rubs and conflicts with
oh,
each
yeah,
other.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You view it as a tie.
Yeah.
Something that brings it together.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, no.
Because it's Saturday.
Like, yeah. You know.
Now, what if Clemson played on Sunday?
If they played on Sunday, it would make life a lot harder.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot more decisions. That's why I go with college, man.
That's
you know?
Right. That's
all right,
why.
Campus. We're meeting at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
That's
right.
It'll be a half-hour service.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But, you know, and the Sunday games are just, I mean, that's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
For me, you know, like I've never been a huge NFL fan. I watch it because it's on.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like golf in that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, golf's a little more slower pace, you know, more for a nap. But, so it's on Sunday. So it's something to watch. How do you guys feel about that? Like what parallels or even differences do you see between like sports versus church, religious practice, those kind of things? How do you guys view that?
Who's going first?
Okay.
Daniel's got some good thoughts right, here.
Yeah.
I know he does.
Well, when it comes to sports versus religious things.
Versus, okay. Conflict.
Yeah. Well,
yes.
We got the rub.
Not really conflict
oh, okay.
so much as just a dichotomy.
Okay.
I think people are, including Christians, are far more excited about sports. Mm-hmm. And the people who are that excited about religion, we think are kooks.
Okay.
And so I think that's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, there's something special about sports where, you know, it's one of those unifying things, which, I mean, in reality, church and Christianity should be, I don't think that there's any real tension between the two unless, you know, you put sports on another level above Christ, but.
Yeah.
Well, and that's it for me. It's like anything else. I don't think sports are, there's a lot of good. Everything that I was listening to you talk
yeah.
and I was thinking, you know, that's great. Like Matt said,
yeah.
you're talking about the community aspect of it. I mean, there's a lot of good
yeah.
in that environment. and a lot of things that honestly I think church could learn from, right?
So we so
and
need like to be Daniel tailgating said, before the service.
I mean, wouldn't that be awesome if you showed amazing. Up at church yeah. and every Sunday, you know, every Sunday morning before service?
People I was were already convinced from excited. The last B3 meeting that we need beer for people to show up on.
That's
I mean,
it.
I mean,
on that,
yeah.
Think Zach knows all of the people around him at yeah. his season oh, tickets. Yeah. How many people yeah. who sit next to the same people in church know who's yeah. next to them?
Ooh, well, good question. Yeah. Daniel Schaefer.
Well, they know but, them because they don't. They sit in the same place. That's and true. They only know the people around them, and they don't interact well, but with
I
anybody
mean,
else.
But I mean, like, do they?
That's not good either.
Would,
I'm not
would
saying.
They even know their name? I mean, right, there's yeah. a lot of people who probably yep. wouldn't, which right. is both, you know, games, there's a lot less.
No,
you're allowed to talk to people around you.
Yeah.
I'm picturing yeah. our church seats right now, like PSLs, right? And it's just like... like, how can we sell those every year?
It's our next
fundraiser. Yeah,
right,
yeah, it's
exactly.
our next fundraiser.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So...
They're so gonna buy tickets, though.
I think, yeah. So I think it's good, but I think like anything else, if it becomes an idol that surpasses the priorities right. in your life, if you work all week and you choose to sit down and watch sports the entire weekend instead of spending the time with your family that you don't get to see during the week, you know, or sure. if you know, you are involved in church and you claim some sort of a role, but, you know, you bail out early when your team is playing in the early game. Or, you know, when it becomes something that gets in the way and starts interfering with things that should be a priority in your life, then we got a problem. So, yeah. I mean, I think there's definitely two sides to that coin.
Yeah.
I was reading an article about it because when you brought this up a couple weeks ago, I just started reading some things. And one statement that was made on somebody's, I believe it was just a, it was an article that was linked to from the Huffington Post article that I was reading. And it was a guy just talking about youth sports, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But he was talking about sports in general. And he was definitely trying to paint two pictures, the rub that, you know, the rub or the tie-in. But one thing he said I loved, he said, look, if you know, time, money, and devotion were like the elements, like if they were the things that we were measuring things by, then sports is winning. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to churches, like if time, no the doubt. Time you devote to it, the devotion you have for it, and the money that you choose to sink into it, if those are the things that you're going to measure, then sports is winning. I'm just when I read that, I'm like, gosh, that stinks. Like, I mean, like I read that and I was like, okay, now I see when I read stuff that's a conflict, I see why, you know, people in churches they get very upset about it. You know, they get very kind of, they have to feel like it's a position against them because of those three things. But I'm like you guys, I choose to see, can I tell a quick story?
Tell it.
All right. So my first experience of going to a Panther game was this year.
Yep.
Right. And I had to, I had a guy Uber me down, Uber driver at our church. He Ubered me down to the place cause friends were already there. And I need to get right from church. And so as soon as I was done speaking, I changed and I get in this car and he flies down to the stadium. Well, I'm four blocks away. And as I'm walking towards the stadium, of course, I'm already not late, but like, you know, I'm not going to, I mean, it's still, I was waiting in the gate while the, you know, the
pregame.
The pregame and all that was coming on the Star Spangled Banner and anthems being sung. So I'm out there still trying to get in, but I'm, you know, as I walked by, like the tailgating and the things like that, I was like, there was something within me that was just like, I really wanted to be there. Like that looked like an incredible time for a few hours before the game. Like people, I mean, the community that I see happening, it's just like, that is so awesome. Like I looked at it and thought, that's great. I walked closer, I walked by and the food smelled amazing too. So I'm a big food person.
Helps.
So
yeah,
that helps a little bit, but the food. And so, and so I was literally sitting there as I was going towards, I'm going, yeah, this is amazing. And of course, then going, you know, I'm sitting by people I don't know. By the end of the game, I'm already cutting up with them. You know, I'm already contacting because we were talking about, they were playing Seahawks that day. Yeah. So we're talking about Russell Wilson and people. And I was just like, This is really interesting. Now again, we're all cheering and we all have. I mean, there's some division because you know because of the rivalry and team things like that. But it is funny that even in the division, there's something common. Like I mean, outside of when they're drunk and they fight, you know, they're initially when they're just you know trash talking each other, there really is this like we both love this sport, right? Yeah. So even though we're trash talking each other's team and each other's players and things like that, like we're happy to be at a game. We're so happy to be at this game together. So there were so many positive things about it, you know? I mean, the money alone to park and tailgate and the devotion of the season ticket. You know, that is a lot. And I understand how people – exactly. Why not, you know?
Church is free, for
goodness sakes. It's free. Come on, man. Come on. You know?
Bring your protein. We'll cook it up in the parking lot. Let's go.
But I did see that, and I did think, man, there's something so great about this. That I think people, I know that's why people long for it. I know that's why people enjoy it. I know that's what draws people there.
That's the draw.
And I looked at that and thought, you know, there's so many things the church can learn from that. But yeah, I guess I could see it, you know, in terms of money and devotion and time dedicated to those things. I see how, quote unquote, if you consider them competing,
right?
That it's winning. You know, sports is going to win.
No doubt.
Because it's, you know, and so, go
ahead. If I went to, you know, a couple guys and said, hey, there's this really awesome men's conference that I think we should all go to. But it's $200 to go, you know, you're going to get some people like, And if I'm like, hey, we can go sit in some awesome seats at whatever game.
Yeah.
Guess what? People are going to be more apt to jump absolutely. On board to do.
Sure.
So I absolutely agree that it's definitely winning.
Yep.
For sure.
But then part of the draw of sports, I'll talk about just for me personally, you know, I mentioned this a little bit earlier, is just the rallying of people behind a common bond, a common goal of beating the foe and this and that. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes the church, like we miss that. Like Journey's a little different, you know, and there are many churches like Journey, but there are a lot of them that are not, and they're struggling because, you know, they don't have a vision or a common bond, you know, that's drawing them together. And that's where sports, you know, gets like men in those congregations, they'll get riled up over a sports game or, you know, anytime I see somebody with orange and a paw on, you know, it's like, hey, go Tigers. And they're go Tigers back. Yeah, you know, we have this like unspoken kind of deal. You know? I don't even know who they are, but it's like, hey, go Tigers. You know, we know that that's our bond, you know, and Alabama people have their Roll Tide and, you know, there's
O-H-I-O.
all these nations that exist now, you know, O-H-I-O, Red Sox baby. Nation.
That's right.
You
know, oh gosh. You know,
all these things. But it's all because there's this common bond that draws people together. Mm-hmm. And so when I look at it from a church perspective, I'm like, that's what we've got to tap into as the church. And it should be easy for us. But, man, do we mess it up sometimes. We just don't always get it right. How can we tap into that a little more, you know, whether it's just purely a vision aspect or whether it's trying to capitalize on something? How do we tap into that as churches that, you know, that same – it obviously exists. I mean, you think about the guy who just kind of – comes and sits in your church service.
Yeah.
He just sits there. He's not very engaged. He doesn't really talk much. He doesn't really connect that much. But then if you start talking to him about maybe if he wears a sports shirt, you know, whatever team it is, and you begin a conversation about that, the guy just opens up and like this whole other person just kind of comes out. Mm-hmm. So for people like that, how do we as a church tap into that? It's obviously already inside of people. You know, they're looking for some way to connect and engage and that kind of thing. So it's in them, you know, and the sports teams and sports have tapped into it somehow. But how do we as a church tap into that and individuals that kind of just, you know, for lack of a better term, are just kind of attending and existing in our churches?
That's a good question.
It's a big question, a deep question. There may not be an answer right now, but, I just want to know. What do you guys think?
Go ahead, Josh.
Two things came to my mind as you were asking the question. I was just thinking through if we wouldn't do this. I don't. Maybe we would. But let's
I'm
say we turned
Journey,
every
we
Sunday.
Do, Journey, we do a lot.
We do
of
a lot of things different. Yeah. If all of a sudden we started tailgating, I mean, we just created that same exact atmosphere.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, even if you're providing that possibility to happen, people have to choose to take part, right? Yeah. Whether it's a sporting event or whether it's to get involved in church. For me, when I think about it, there's two real big influences, I think, for sports that you would need to get to translate to church. One is the experience of it. Whether it's – so we were talking about Matt, you mentioned me. For me, I played sports.
Mm-hmm.
So I was deep in it from early on playing it. So you kind of catch fire a little quicker than somebody who never played, right? So, but that's because I'm in it knee deep and experiencing all that comes with being involved in sports, right? So I've allowed myself to be involved in the sport to experience it. The other thing is, we mentioned earlier about growing up, like if your parents were big into it, right? So it's the example set. Okay, so my wife, huge sports person. She had two sisters. They were all girls in the house, but her mom and dad, huge sports people. Mm. So they were going to be too, right? Just because that's the environment they grew up in. So experiencing it, allowing yourself, putting yourself in a position to experience the sport, whatever it is, or that sport experience to the fullest. And then two, sort of a learned thing from your environment. So at the end of the day, that's what has to happen in church. If we want people to be that excited about church, about coming to church, about being involved, about Jesus in general, I think they've got to allow themselves to, you know, put themselves in a position to experience mm-hmm. church community, to experience what it means like to be involved, not just show up, involved in church, to experience Jesus, to transform their lives. And then also it's, you know, if they didn't have that from their parents, if they watched dad sit on the couch and watch football instead of going to church, guess what? They're probably going to be more apt to not, you know, to blow off church and not want that community from that, from, you know, from
that's
church,
right?
From that source. So,
right.
I don't know. It's
I mean, I think the other thing that gets people into sports, or at least the one that I, you know, is like you get invited to go watch a game or something, and it's when you see the passion that everyone has for it.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
it's infectious.
Like, it's very infectious. Yeah. And then, you know, you go, wow, I'm enjoying this. Mm-hmm. And then you start to latch onto a team because it's like, oh, this was a positive experience.
Yeah. Right.
And I mean, I think that, and it,
I just, you know,
yeah.
Sorry. Thinking about, you know, don't
unless
make
you're
your
a
first,
Cleveland Browns
I was going to say, don't make your first experience like Browns game or something.
The only way that works is
you'll hate football for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
That's so bad.
Sorry, Bridget. Sorry, Bridget.
But you know, it's some that, my small group has talked about some, you know, and it's just how you get people excited about Christ. I mean, like, because, you know, we should be that level of excitement. You know, it's like there are certain things, you know, if you talk to people and you hit the right subject on Christianity, you can see their eyes light up and, you know, they'll talk for forever about it.
Right.
But for some reason, even in churches, people don't like it doesn't feel okay to do that. Right. So, you know, it's like the guy who comes and sits by himself who, you know, you're like, is he like, does he even care? Yeah. You know, it's like, well, what's being modeled around him? What's being modeled for him by the people he knows, by his friends?
Right.
What's been modeled in the church that he's been in? Because, I mean, in most churches I've been in, it's, I mean, obviously, you know, there's the more Pentecostal, you know, like, you know, where it is very visible and passionate, and, you know, people go and you have one of two reactions. Either this is awesome or these people are
this
weird.
This is not
weird.
For me. Yeah.
But, you know, it's like for most of the churches I've grown up in, it's been very much you go, you sit, you're pretty stoic the whole time. You know, you're just kind of like there and then you leave.
Right.
And then, you know, you don't talk about it out. Like, I mean, unless you're evangelizing to people.
Right.
Air quotes.
Yeah. Air quotes.
But, you know, it's like, so it kind of starts from the church itself of are you passionate about it? And how do you expect other people to be if you're not?
Right.
That's a great, great word because passion's a big player.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether it's professional sports or it's your kid's team.
Mm-hmm.
Because youth sports is a big deal in terms of part of this growing religion of,
absolutely,
you know, is youth sports. But here's where I come from. I come from the standpoint of you can desire people have a similar feeling, you know, from being a part of any community.
Yeah.
And event, and it doesn't matter whether it's church or sports or whatever, but you can desire for them to feel the end feeling you want them to have is that they were glad they were there. You know, they were glad they participated, right? And we want that in church. We want that you know, I walk away from a professional game or whatever, and I was glad I was there. I was glad I was able to participate in that. Right. So that's a common feeling. Mm-hmm. The issue that the thing that sports does for people that the church has a very difficult time trying to either mimic or parallel with that passion aspect is that passion. Sports does an incredible job making it very much about the person who's watching, right? Sports does an incredible job. So it doesn't matter if it's professional or your mm-hmm. kid playing. If your kid is playing, all you're thinking about is you're living through that kid. Mm-hmm. You're living through your kid and the things they do and don't do. And it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, when you're there or watching tape later or whatever the case is. That's what a parent's doing. A parent's passion is round up, not because they love basketball, but because their kid's playing basketball. And their kid's team is black, so we go, yo, go black, right? I said yo black. But it's a go black, go green. So that's the part that the passion ties into. The only other thing that I can say is that, yeah, I mean, the greatest quarterbacks in the world are sitting on their butt watching TV every Sunday, right? And the greatest, you know, receivers, because in their mind they're so engaged in watching this that they are visualizing themselves as that player, as that person right. that they do. Our hearts are wired for allegiance, so the whole team and competition thing is just automatic. Absolutely. So the allegiance side of thing is easy. It's easy to get a church riled up if you want to play the card that you're the best church in the world, and here's why you're the best church in the world.
Right.
Because people's hearts are aligned for that. The rest of the churches suck, and our church is great. And because our hearts immediately kind of draw towards allegiance, it's the same with teams. But the reality is that in all sporting events, we're engaged passionately because of something we're seeing and because of something that someone else is doing, whether it's our kids, right? Or it's our team, or it's the person, right? It could be who's the quarterback you like? The
Tony Romo?
There you go. The quarterback.
I know he still plays?
Now, you're all Dallas Cowboys. But I know you're all Dallas Cowboys, but I know, you know, you've watched him for years. And so it's like, you know, when he's doing things, there's something that rises up in the fact that he either did it or he didn't do it, right? And the disappointment when he doesn't do something. So you feel it because that is the nature of sports. And the fact is that, honestly, people they can't necessarily align themselves with that aspect of attending a church service, because they attend and they're like, I can't visualize myself as the preacher or the singer or, you know, Jesus healing somebody. It's not the same thing. But I tell you, Josh said it earlier, which is, when we know this from our church experience, is that the more involved you get in church, the more you actually come and participate from a serving aspect of church, you really do kind of get, you know, the passion starts to come out. Passion does. Mm-hmm. I've never been that passionate, honestly, attending most things I've attended, but I get extraordinarily passionate about things that I'm involved in and serve in or volunteer in.
Right.
So I even think that, you know, to a certain degree, I'm kind of okay even with a church experience. I want you to have a feeling when you've left that you were glad you came.
Yeah.
That it was helpful and you're glad you came, and you have that kind of joy in you because you chose this before above me on choosing something else.
Yeah.
But I don't even worry about, from an attending standpoint, doing what sports, you know, does, because I don't think the attenders at a church can do that. I think the participants, right? Yes. I mean, dude, we were at the football game, and it was like, I mean, every time there was a slow moment, there was stuff on the screen. You guys yell. You guys on this side yell keep. You guys on the other side yell pounding. You know, raising their voice for defense. Like, every moment they were just participate. And that is what I felt like was the key of the passion coming out in people.
Yeah, right.
And so, I'm totally with you, Daniel, on the idea that the passion is the biggest part, even when you're aligned sports and church. But I think we do a tough job in churches. I mean, you do a terrible job in most churches and in most places trying to help get people engaged so the passion lights up, you know, so that passion's there.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I noticed at this past partner night even.
Yeah.
One of the things that we started, you know, what, a year and a half, two years ago, is we kind of changed the way we changed our metrics. From, like you're saying, attendance to, you know, well, how do we know people are participating? We challenged people to have this top five list, and we started measuring stories and impact and that kind of thing. And just hearing, like, our table share stories, you could tell that the passion was there.
Yeah.
Because there was buy-in.
So cool.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Because we as a church called them to, hey, invest in your neighbors, invest in your coworkers, you know, and you could tell that once that buy-in happened, that it tapped into something. You know, they felt like they were, hey, this isn't going to happen unless I'm involved, unless I'm playing a part, unless I take a role, and I'm, you know, becoming a fan, or you know, whatever, however you want to term it. But that's one thing that I've noticed in the last year and a half or so is the buy-in, and when we share those stories on partner mm-hmm. night, just hearing that, you know, and the celebration that kind of comes from around the table of, wow, that's awesome. Yeah. Good job. You know?
Yeah.
And so that's where my mind went when you were talking about, you know, the passion and the buy-in is, I just saw that, you know, the other night and just seeing that kind of, you know, it was a celebration.
Oh yeah.
You know, of a win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really?
It was a win.
Yeah. And we were celebrating that together.
Yep. Yeah.
Even though it was just like eight of us around a table, we still celebrate, and we were still like, man, yeah, all right,
so
go
awesome.
Team. You know, we
go
were like, yeah.
I go mean, Tigers! Seriously.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, I've sat at those tables.
We need a mascot.
At those partner nights where you have, like you said, the celebrations for the wins when you hear
sandals.
A good story about somebody's top five.
The
or there's tears when there's sadness.
Yeah.
So,
there is, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just like
yeah.
in the sports. And there's chills when somebody tells a story about something that happened and placed somebody new in their life, and now they're on the top five and how it happened. You get the chill. I mean, it's all the same feeling. So, you're right. I think that helps.
Like you were saying, those moments are what
what
captivate us as individual story. You know, it captivates us. You know, I can think back to games I've been to. I can remember moments like they were yesterday, you know, and you know, just think through those. And it's the same thing in church. We have to learn how to tap into that kind of thing, to the moments, to the stories, to the personal connection, and that will lead us to getting people passionate and buying in, and so that's why I love sports, and that's where I see them paralleling sometimes,
right?
You know, outside of the community and the common bond kind of thing.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's also because you know, in sports, there is a very obvious us against them, and you know, like you were saying, people don't—they're
wired for it.
Well, right,
yeah.
But people also, you know, can't. You know, it's like when you're at a church service, like, who are you like rooting for? You know, it's like, who are you picturing yourself as?
Go Jesus!
And, well, yeah, but I mean, but in reality, like, that's what people like, and that's a weird mindset to get into. But you know, it's like trying to be mindful of the things Christ does for you during the week, every day, and you know, that's the prayer and just meditation on what Christ has done for you, because then you know, it's like. At partner night, you know, it's like you have those things that when you're talking to each other, but do you recognize them in your life on a day-to-day basis?
Right.
Because if you do, then you have those wins to celebrate.
You have those wins.
And
that's
you have
right.
that
yeah,
engagement.
Right.
On Sunday, it's like on Sunday, it should be a rejoicing in everything from the past week and from your life. And so, you know, that's where the passion should come from, is from you envisioning, you know, like Christ doing this for you and, you know, watching him do this for you, not so much, you know.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. We're kind of wrapping up, you know. We could talk
sports, man.
I could talk all day on sports.
Sports.
You know, we'll probably do some more on it. What final takeaway can you guys come up with as it comes to sports, church, culture, those kind of things?
Well, as I kind of mentioned before, I think there's a lot of good about sports, especially just the community aspect of it, and allowing yourself to be involved to that same level in the church community that you allow yourself, you know, to be involved in the sports community, for yourself and for your family. You know, I mean, Matt, you mentioned it with the kids.
Yeah, youth sports.
You know, youth sports is, you know, that's a whole another level. Another podcast in itself, but I think there's definitely some stuff we could learn from, you know, in the church community from sports. I just think it's I think you just, like anything else, you just gotta be careful. You know,
right.
A fork isn't inherently bad, but I could take it and stab you in the neck, and you know what I'm saying? but you know,
the
I mean,
fork
I,
is amoral. Is that what I mean?
Yeah, exactly, exactly, exactly.
You just,
so,
if you ever have me over for dinner, you're
in trouble.
Watching my back.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's right. Ask for the spork. It doesn't go in as deep.
Oh my gosh, I'll jump on that as my final thought too. In terms of following Josh, I think that. I think what I like is when people take, I mean, I try to do this with my kids with, you know, movies and technology and everything. You know, I want them to take the fact that you're born at this time and in this age. It's not a curse. It's not a bad thing. I want them to learn all the good things, you know, in terms of being globally connected. I want them to learn all the good things. And I want my kids to learn all the good things about sports, you know, when they play it or when they watch it at home or when they're enjoying something with a team. I want to example, you know, model and help them understand the great things about sports. I don't want them to see it as a rub, you know, that you can't enjoy this if you're fully devoted to God. Now, I've actually been raised in some circles and seen circles where it's a constant rub. Like, it's not even a conflict. It's like a line drawn. You can't enjoy and, you know, and cheer at the football game if you didn't cheer at church on Sunday and that kind of thing. And I'm like, no, you can. Like, it's, but you got to make, again, it goes back to, what are you celebrating? What are you celebrating in that moment? You got to have something to celebrate at church. If you're not, can't just tell people to do it and not be celebrating something. And so for me, I look at it and go, I want to do that, but I also want my kids, like, and this is just a challenge for those that really heavily kind of, you've taken this a little bit further in the youth sports side of it. I want my kids to know the good things, but I don't want to ever really set the wrong example as to what sports are, what role they really play.
Right.
Because a lot of people, you know, when it comes to my kid being on a travel team or my kid doing this and, you know, that kind of thing and playing sports and, you know, church becomes a second choice. You know, your community, this community doesn't require, you know, because it's free or it's whatever. This one doesn't require as big of a commitment. So for a period of time, because we have to make this commitment, we've paid this amount of money for you to, for Johnny to do this, like you need to go do this. And I'm like, you know what? That's, I don't ever want my kids to feel like sometimes that they have to choose that way.
Right.
Like, like, and if they did have to choose, honestly, what do I want them choosing? Do I want them choosing the team they're playing with for you know, a small period of time just because they're choosing to go on the road and play on Saturday and Sunday? Or they've played all day Saturday, so you're exhausted, so you say, well, let's not go to church on Sunday because – and I'm just like, just don't set the wrong example. Don't set the wrong example. If you want your kids to learn the best thing about sports and the best thing about being a follower of Christ and, you know, being raised this way – pull them together and don't ever let one be a conflict with another. Don't set the wrong example. I think that's probably my takeaway in terms of that is I think it will come out and play itself in professional sports or when you're playing in college or whatever the case is, you know, you're going to put the right priorities in place. Yeah. And it doesn't mean you can't enjoy it because God knows, I think he gave us that to enjoy. There's so much of it is wired in us in terms of sports that we need to, there's got to be good. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I know we can make it bad, but there's got to be good. Let's keep the good and show our kids the good, you know, and not the bad. So,
for me, I go, well, Paul, you know, uses a lot of sports analogies, a lot of athletic analogies.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so, you know, like
for those Greeks.
Sports have been around for forever.
That's exactly
going to continue being around for forever.
That's right.
And, you know, and everything you do, do it for the glory of God. And then the other thing is, you know, I go, and, you know, there are a lot of great experiences at, you know, watching sports live and, you know, with a group of people. But then, you know, it's the perspective of no matter how awesome that moment is, it's a pale reflection of what we'll experience someday. So, you know, it's an awesome way to, like, if you think about it, you go, this is amazing. And I'm so, and, you know, be grateful to God for the experiences that he allows you to have at sports games or, you know, at events or wherever. And then you go, but this is nothing compared to what he is or what we'll see. And so, you know, it's if you keep that perspective, then it's really hard to make it an idol above God because you go, you know, there is nothing like this is, you know, this is amazing, but it's nothing compared to what is coming.
Perspective. You said the word. I mean, it all comes down to you just got to have the right perspective.
I'll echo that too. You know, whenever I'm sitting in the stands, you know, with 86,000 people, you know, at Death Valley and it's rocking and my mind goes to the same thing of, man, we are celebrating and it's fun, but this is going to pale in comparison, you know, to one day. And, you know, and only as a believer do you have that, or should you have that perspective. So it's never a replacement for religion for me. I'm always drawn to it, like I was saying all throughout this thing, is I'm drawn much more to the parallels of community, togetherness, you know, brotherhood. And then, like you're saying, when you're celebrating and that place is rocking and you're getting chills, I just think about one day, you know, it's going to be even bigger and better than this. It's going to be awesome. And so that's where, you know, it gets my heart pumping a little faster, you know. But yeah, so I think sports is here to stay. It's not going anywhere.
Pretty sure you're right. Pretty sure.
Safe no doubt. But so whoever you root for, whatever your allegiance is, you know,
it's okay.
It's okay.
That's right.
You know, we love you anyway.
But Jesus loves all the teams.
Yeah. we will
Well, oh, yeah. Gosh, whatever.
All I know, well, I'm not going to go there. Yeah, well.
Obviously, the
last
Saints.
Night,
the
last
Saints.
Night, yeah, the Saints. Last night I prayed, and the last thing I said was, OH, and I swear I heard an IO come back.
So oh, my gosh.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's called imagination.
That's so good.
Yeah. Goodness gracious.
I tested that against the Bible. That's not a real thing.
It's not there, yeah. But yeah, thanks for listening. We'll probably circle back around to some of these conversations a little later. Let us know what you think. Please.
And they want to tailgate before Sunday. It's okay.
Dude,
I'm
wide open.
We know we
can. That probably needs to be a grassroots thing.
We
got to
have that.
We
don't really have
thing,
like the full on tailgate.
You know? Yeah.
But if you think about like the coffee and
the coffee bar.
Coffee.
Yeah,
when you walk into the lobby.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sunday.
We can take the cornhole boards and set them out.
Yeah. It's been done.
I feel like a great grassroots thing is just the lower parking lot. You just slip the parking guy like a five. And be like, all right, that's fine. And then down there with the tents popped up.
Yeah.
Man.
We have a whole field across the street from the church.
That's true.
Set it up.
Didn't even think about that. How great would that be?
But yeah. Dude. So sports in America, it's not all bad.
No.
You know, just temperate and you know, try to find the good in it.
Like, so it is a new religion, but it doesn't need to be.
Well, I don't even think it's a new religion.
It's not a new religion.
But I think it gets painted in that light because as church attendance continues kind of to wane and drop here and there, sports attendance is growing. They're building brand new coliseums, millions and billions of dollars, and athletes are making tons of money. So it's obviously growing and doing well, and we see kind of that whole thing. But that's a whole other podcast.
That is.
Yeah,
that's right.
No doubt.
That's
right. There's like three other whole podcasts that could come out of this.
Go a lot of
different
ways. But hey, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on the Journey Online podcast.